How's everybody doing? So Jeff's out of town this weekend. Good news, I'm not teaching. Aaron's teaching. Thought I'd scare you for a second there. Got your attention though, didn't I? Okay, things that are going on. Top of the list here. We have a potluck next Sunday after second service. Okay, and so I don't know, Paige, did you hear or did Jameer's make it in the state? Okay, yeah, they were supposed to make Colorado yesterday, but they will be around next Sunday. So look forward to seeing the Jameers. They're getting paperwork done. They changed their lifetime card where now they have a new lifetime card. Isn't that funny how lifetime things work? But anyway, it's funny talking to Paige the other day. Whenever they figure they got all the paperwork all done, and there's more paperwork, and they want more information. So pray for them. Pray that that paperwork will go through very quickly because they would like to be in the States, out of the States, back to the mission field in India. Other things that are going on, we have a save the date thing here, and that's for the women's retreat, September 23rd through 25th. Also on that list, we have a men's breakfast April 23rd. Where's Taylor? He was up here playing the guitar over here. He's going to be sharing with the gentleman on the 23rd. It's fun because I've watched Taylor grow up since he was, I don't know, probably three, maybe two. I remember when he was 2 years old, he was sitting on our couch reading from the book of Isaiah. I knew the kid was special then. You don't hear 2-year-olds read from the book of Isaiah very often. And then we have this summer we have Vacation Bible School, so save that date, June 13th through 17th. And so everything else that's normally going on is going on this week. There's still sign-up sheets in the back if you haven't signed up for Life Group and you want to do that. This is the time to do that. I saw the sheets are still out, so go ahead and sign up. That's an awesome time of fellowship, and I think that's when Taylor was over at our house. 18, 20 years ago, is we had a life group, and they live really close to us, walking distance away. So it's fun how you get to meet people and grow with them, and then watch them grow up. And Paige is always saying they're going too fast, and I want to keep them young, but that's what happens. They grow up, and so connect with those life groups. Any case, here's Aaron, and he's got a message.
All right. How are you all this morning? Good? All right. Well, I'm excited to share with you what the Lord has put on my heart for this morning. As I was driving in, did any of you wake up before the sun? As I was driving in, I was looking over the mesa, and over the mesa there, the sun was just starting to creep up, and I was noticing there was not a cloud in the sky. What an amazing morning it is this morning. So clear and so wonderful. I mean, I was just thinking of how good God is. And it reminds us, obviously, of spring, that spring is here, and that's kind of exciting, isn't it? Out of the weather and the cold, hopefully. Thinking about a garden and all of that. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we're just really thankful for the life that you give us. Lord, we're thankful for the love that you have bestowed upon us so richly. And Lord, as we enter your word this morning, Lord, we want you to definitely have your way in our hearts. We realize that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price, and that you are our great Lord and Master. And so, Lord, we want to submit to you this morning, and we want to do that for your glory. And for your work in our hearts and our lives, Lord, that we may bring glory to you and that you would be the number one thing that people see in our lives and through our lives. So I just thank you for each one that's here this morning. Thank you for how you've prepared our hearts. And Lord, we just pray that we would be able to hear what you want to speak to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was thinking, I've been studying the book of Hebrews, and I kind of got hung up in chapter 3, and so I really wanted to spend some time and to talk to you guys about chapter 3. Because within it, there really is a framework for us having a tender heart. And that's what That's what my theme is this morning, or title of the message is Cultivating a Tender Heart. Because really, that is what is going to make a difference in our lives as we have that tender heart before the Lord. As springtime rolls around, how many of you start to talk about a garden? Anybody? A garden, you want those fresh tomatoes, the peppers, all of that stuff. Well, I'm no different than you, and I think that I've told you before, all the little antics that I've had with greenhouses and stuff like that that have really been a failure mostly, But the awesome thing about spring is the fact that life is new, isn't it? The renewing of the spring. And this season is an amazing season. And I think that as I was thinking about just having a tender heart, I'm thinking about spring and I'm thinking about growing, little flowers. I like, or little flowers, little plants. I love to plant seeds and watch them grow. I love to see them become something and bear fruit. Don't you like that? Isn't that awesome? You take something that's really ugly and you plant it in the ground, and all of a sudden, 7 days later, you get this tender little sprout that comes up, pushes up through the soil. And you've probably seen some of those sprouts that actually can even push up through concrete, that tender little thing. But there's so much power that God has put within that to bring life. And, but there's a tenderness to it. And I was reminded of that as I was watering. I went down to Walmart and I bought this little fake greenhouse thing. You get the bottom part, you plant the seeds in the bottom part, and you put the cover over the top, and it's like this little greenhouse. But I'm moving the top off to water these little sprouts, and, just barely hit one of them and broke the top off. It's so tender, so new, and so fresh. And, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, that's what the Lord desires in our hearts, that we would have a tender heart for the moving of His Spirit within us. And I just want to share with you 3 points this morning about how, from chapter 3, that we can come to a place where we have that tender heart. And I believe that this is what the Lord wants for us in our lives. And the 3 points, first off, are to know our place. And that becomes the real foundation. We'll spend quite a bit of time there talking about knowing our place. But then the second one is to know our time, to know the time that God has given to us. And then the third one would be to know our connections and know that we are connected. And it kind of relates to, our place, but there's more to it there. And I just hope that you'll be able to see that as we go down through the scripture this morning. So this place, let's read through the first few verses here, 1 through 6 in chapter 3 of Hebrews. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all of his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son, over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Those are awesome verses there that really define who we are, who we are. And that's really the foundation of having a tender heart, is to know who you are. Just like when I was, I was planting my seeds and I was thinking, well, what do I need to do? I need to get some potting soil. I need to have some soil. There was a foundation there for the seed to grow. And as I was thinking this year, I'm going to make my own potting soil. So I went online and I looked at all these people's recipes for soil to make it. You'd think, you'd think you'd just go dig some dirt and put it in a cup, But there's more to it than that. You got to have something that's going to hold the water. You got to have something that's going to give them nutrients. You got to have something that's going to hold on to the root so that they can be solid. There's things that go into it. There's a foundation that you have to lay before that seed is planted in that ground. And obviously, you have to have water, you have to have light, You know, those things are really obvious for us. Well, the same thing is true for us. In order for us to have a tender heart before the Lord, we really need to have a foundation. And that foundation begins with our place. It begins with our position. It begins in where we are at and how we see ourselves and how God sees us. That's really, really important. And so in this scripture we see, and the first verse here really communicates a lot to us. Look at that. Therefore, holy brethren. And this is in response, you know, this is about the, I didn't count them all, but there's a bunch of therefores, and you can go back. And always a therefore refers to what was before it. And I don't have time to go through all that's before it, but Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is saying, Jesus is better than the law. Basically, he's better than the angels and better than the law. He is more foundational than any of that. And because the fact of the matter was, the Jews at this time, when this book was written, they were struggling with theology. They were struggling with doctrine. They were trying to figure out what this new faith and what this new life in the Messiah Christ really was all about. And a lot of them were slipping back into the works of the law. They were slipping back into, you know, picking up all the things that the Jews had piled on them, or that they had before piled on themselves, walking by their own works and walking in their works. And so the author here is setting out to place Jesus as Messiah over all of those things, and that the great and that the free grace that God gives is accessible to all men. All men, all women, all people, and that there's a whole heart of God behind that. And so we see here that he says, therefore, holy brethren. And that's really, that's an important statement there, you know, that the author sees these people as brethren. So this is written not to the world. It's not written to anybody out there. This is written to the church. This is written to the brothers and sisters in Christ. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. And we see here's our place, a partaker of the heavenly calling. That has a lot of punch to it. And there's a lot there that we could talk about. That's a big subject, the heavenly calling. What is that? But I think that it can be reduced down to some a general statement that really gives us a good look at what is that heavenly calling. And we're going to go there here in a second, but I want to continue on down because it says here, we'll come back to it, but this is important for us to know, because before that, we have to understand, how do we get into this heavenly calling? How did we get here? How did we get into this place? That is really important. And so the author says here, consider Jesus. And that is where we need to focus, is to consider Jesus. And I think we have to pop ourselves out of, or come out of this place where we are considering ourselves, because that's the nature that we, that's our nature. Our nature, when Adam and Eve sinned there and they disobeyed the Lord, what happened there? The fall? What was the fall? The fall was into this revelation of self and the need to satisfy self. And you see that, I mean, that's amazing. That is the beginning of sin and disobedience, is the revelation of self and my need to gratify and to do everything to assuage the passion that is in my flesh. So, that's where we find ourselves in this place. And God wants to bring us to a place where we realize that we are stuck in this place of flesh and in our own selfishness. And so here, we need to consider Jesus. And there's all kinds of things that we can consider there in with when we talk about Jesus. But the two that we're to consider there, we're to stop and we're to think about who Jesus is and what he has done. Look at there, consider the apostle and the high priest. What's an apostle? What is an apostle? In this case, Jesus, maybe you didn't realize that Jesus was actually called an apostle. Well, right here, the writer calls him an apostle. Somebody who is sent out, you could say that it's an ambassador. I think Jeff mentioned it last week, talking about that Jesus is an apostle. He was sent out. Who is he sent out by? He was sent out by the Father. And that helps us understand here what our place is, that he was sent, he was the apostle. The other word there the other idea there is the high priest, which if you were a Jew, you would know exactly what would your mind go to? Your mind would go to the temple. It would go to the sacrificial system. It would go to maybe Aaron, the high priest, you know, back in Exodus. That's where your mind would go. And what was his role? What did the high priest do? Well, it was really actually very simple. I mean, we have all the laws and the things, and you can read through Leviticus, you can read through Exodus and Deuteronomy and all of those that line out all of those laws. And the high priest was involved in all of those. But really, what their function was and what the priest's function was to represent God to men and to represent man to God. They would be a mediator, a go-between, an intercessor between man and God. And that's really simply what the priest was about. All the other regulations, all the rules, those were things that they oversaw, but they were all there, we know from Galatians, to lead us to this place of understanding who Jesus is and our need for Jesus. But the high priest was the one that was representing God to man and man to God. So it's really very simple, and Jesus was that. That's exactly what his role was, to represent man to God and to represent God to man. It's really very simple. And so God called him to come and to be that apostle and that high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him. Who was he faithful to? He was faithful to the Father. And we see that the call there, what was the call on Jesus' life? For God so loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Later on in Hebrews, it talks about Jesus was given a body. And it kind of quotes Jesus saying, "You have given me this body to do your will, O God." That was what Jesus' calling was. That was his purpose, was to do the will of the Father. And this scripture shows us that he was faithful to him who appointed him. And it was God the Father who appointed him to do that. You know, really, those are all the technical things there that, you know, and there's a lot more you could dig into, obviously, in this passage. It's really quite an amazing couple of verses here. But John 3:16 is so simple. What really is, what stands out in my mind about John 3:16 and the calling that Jesus had was the love of the Father. So loved the world that he so loved you, that he so loved your life that he gave his only begotten Son. And we, in order to understand and to have a tender heart to the Lord and to cultivate that tender heart to the Lord, we have to come to a place where we realize that God loves us, that God loves you. That even in any circumstance or any situation, there is nothing that you can do to make that position or that love any greater. And I think we struggle with that because that is our place. Our place is loved by the Father. Loved by the Father. And the more that we, I hope, I know you hear that. We hear that said. My heart is that that will sink deeper into your life. That will sink deeper into my life. That we will realize that really the power of a tender heart and the power of the Christian life is to realize that God's will is for you to know that you are loved by him. Because when we understand that foundational fact, it changes and it switches from a place of gratitude and thankfulness instead of duty and hard work. We go, because I don't know about you, I've been walking with the Lord for over 40 years. I still struggle with the attitude of working for something from God. Working, if I just would study enough for this message, then I would be able to teach and you guys would understand what I'm saying. That's works-based. And I find myself struggling with that yesterday. It's works-based. I'm trying to accomplish something in and of my own strength. We do it all the time. I do it all the time. trying to make my life somehow more acceptable and pleasing to God. But there's no way. We just celebrated Easter, didn't we? We just celebrated. It is finished. Tetelestai on the cross. It's done. There is no other work that we have to do to come into our place with the Father. And the more that we understand that and realize the fact that it is really finished and we die to ourself, because our works, you know, what can they be motivated by? Okay, I'll just use myself as an example, okay? Because I don't know. I don't know your life. And I mean, you guys could think of things. If you were up here and you were going to give this talk and you had an opportunity to do that, what do you think the things that are running through your mind would be? Well, I want to wear a nice shirt. You know, I want to look good. You know, I want to say the right things. I want to have everything lined up, and I want them to sound good so that people think this or think that. You know, you play all of these crazy little games inside your head. It's all works. It's all works. It's all me trying to perform and trying to please. When I should be concerned about just the basic fundamental truth of God's word and his love expressed through the Spirit of God coming out through my life. This is a certain place that that happens. But you know what? I have a work and an office area too. That's a whole other segment of my life that I have performance-based things that are going on in there. Maybe evangelism. I feel like, you know, God would love me a little more if I would share my faith. Or if somebody would come to know the Lord through my talking. How about this? I mean, I've raised my kids. I've raised them up. I'm still raising them. How many of you have been motivated by something and you've done something because you really wanted your kids to look good so you look good? And you're maybe fearful of sharing something about your child with somebody else because you don't want them to have a perception of who you are and what kind of parent you are. It's huge. It pervades our whole life. That is a works-based mentality. That is working and performing to somehow gratify your own, my own desire to be something before God and to have something more from God. But the fact of the matter is, our place and our position in Christ, it cannot be any deeper. It cannot be any better. We cannot be any more connected with that place and that position. That's the Father's heart to us. And, you know, I think that that's the amazing thing about what heaven is going to be like, is we're going to come to a place where we realize that in totality. Here we are looking up and we're waiting for that day when the flesh is gone. But actually, we have the opportunity to live that right now. We have the opportunity to live in that right now. He's given us all the tools. He's given us the power and the enabling of his Holy Spirit. He's given us the place and the position. We can do it in the power of the Holy Spirit as we surrender that works-based mentality and the working of our flesh. And you know, the first step in that is to recognize those things. And, you know, it's like, isn't it like peeling back an onion? Our lives? We come to a place where we realize, man, that is a horrible thing that I said or did. I'm never going to do that again. And you walk on and God gives you victory in that. But then you come to another place and you think, oh man, I got to deal with this now. You know, it's like one after the other, God peeling back those things in our lives that so easily entangle us and trip us up, as Hebrews 12 says. One place I want to take you is, you know, when we're talking about the heavenly calling, we have this position, we have a heavenly calling. The last time I spoke on Matthew 6, and we talked about, you know, the will of God for our life, basically. But Matthew 6, 9 is really, this really defines 9 and 10. 10 really defines are what the heavenly calling is. This is what Jesus, it's in Jesus' model prayer to us when the disciples were wondering, you know, teach us how to pray. We want to know how to pray. And Jesus says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And this is really where this is being partakers of the heavenly calling. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Really, that's the simple idea of what the heavenly calling is. The heavenly calling is God's will actually being met out and done through our life as we are surrendered to Him, as we are tender to Him, and have that tender heart towards Him. It's really that simple idea of His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We are partakers of that heavenly calling, and He's given us all that we need to be able to do that. Let's go to another place that talks about the beauty of our place and our heavenly calling. John chapter 17. And this is an amazing section of scripture here. I love this section of scripture. And I want you could hang out in John 17 and just read it, meditate on it. Let God work in your heart through it. But verse 20 is where we want to start. And I'm going to read down through there 6 verses because I hope that you'll see this is what Jesus' desire. These are some of the last words that Jesus said before he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was walking with his disciples, and this is his last real teaching or communication to his disciples. And we have the blessing and the privilege to know this. And I'm so glad that we have this. I do not pray for these alone or for the disciples that were there with him, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. Here we are reading through the Word of God. This is not just for the disciples. It's not just for the apostles that were there right then. It is for us who have heard their words, which is an amazing statement. Jesus is looking through the ages. He's looking through all the future, and he's saying that I'm not praying just for these guys here that you have with me. I am praying for all that will believe, that they all, not just Calvary Chapel Grand Junction, not just Calvary Chapel Worldwide, not just Calvary Chapel and the Baptists. This is all the world, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. I don't understand that. I don't get that. Do you see the depth that is there? I mean, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. These are amazing. This is an amazing concept. This is who you are, partaking of the heavenly calling. This is who I am. We have been invited to participate in the same thing that Jesus participated as he walked this earth with the Father. We have been called. This is who we are. This is tomorrow for you and for me. This is our life. Oneness in Jesus and in the Father. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Did you realize God so loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, and he wants to draw you and me into that same love? It's no different. It's exactly the same. Exactly the same love. This is the foundation that we walk in. This is the foundation of who we are. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you, known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. That is an amazing passage of Scripture. That is an amazing truth that we can enter in to that same love. And it should be the driving force of our Christian life. It should be the driving force of who we are. It should be the driving force of our position and how we walk in this world. You see, we are representatives. We are salt and light, but we are representing him because we are one with him. We are one with him. And we're representing who he is by our life. That is just a beautiful place to be. And I'm so thankful. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, that's the thing that should really bring us into this joyful place of understanding this is how God sees me, walking in love. You know the joy of a child, and this is the funny thing. Children are so joyful, aren't they, when they have a truth? You can give them something that they've wanted. You just give it to them, and they're just like ecstatic, bubbling over. You know, with, you love me. They felt that. You know, that should be the way our life is, that we are just bubbling over with the truth of what this is. It's not a heavy burden. This is a beautiful spot that we freely enter into by the blood of Jesus Christ, which we are going to celebrate this morning through communion. We are able to enter in freely into this place, to know the Lord, and to have that love pouring out of our hearts and our life for him and for those around us to be one with them. Galatians 5:22 says what? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness. What else? Long-suffering. All of those things up there. Those are the things that we have. We've been given freely the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in that love. It's the very same love that the Father has for Jesus, and Jesus has drawn us into that place of love through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's our position in Christ. That is who he has called us to be. Another part of that position is verse 6 where it says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. He dwells inside your life. The exact same love that the Father has, the exact same love that the Father has for the Son is in your life, and you have access to that freely through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So we can have confidence in our place. So we see that this is a foundation, but we can have confidence. Look at what it says there in verse 6. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. You know what? We can have confidence in this, that we are his sons and his daughters, that we have life in him, that we have his love, that we are drawn into that relationship with the Father and with Jesus. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. And this is in the midst of talking to us about how we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We can have confidence because we have been accepted in the beloved. This is just another scripture. There's many of them, but that's one that shows us that we are accepted in the beloved. Look at this one, Romans 8:28. Look, this is a path that we are on. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, if you're a whosoever believes in him, this is the path that you are on. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these also he glorified. This is an awesome path that God has set us on. And I just want to set your mind on that verse 29, the middle there of that verse. It says, he also predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. You have been predestined to be conformed into the image. There is a working of God in your life that is bringing you to that place of oneness in Christ, that you will be one in him, that you will be walking that way. And it is through the trials, it's through the difficulties of life that we find that happen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Look at this. This is what we can rejoice in. And we don't always do that. And I don't know if I really like this verse at all. I like the one that says, you know, all things work together for the good. I like that one, that God, because that gives me a lot of hope and confidence. But look at this verse here. It says in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, the thing is we know we've been justified, and that's something that's been done in the past. There's one-time deal. You know, at the cross, we have been justified by Christ. We have been justified by his death on the cross, the blood shed on the cross. We have been, you know, we have been redeemed. We've been justified. But there's more to the story. And sometimes we just look back and we say, well, that happened back then, so I just move on with my life. But verse 3, look at what it says. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us to enable us, to help us, to comfort us, to be right alongside in the tribulation. The reason I don't like this verse sometimes is because I don't like the trials and I don't like the things that go on in my life. Because what does it do? It brings death to myself. I have to trust the Lord. I can't trust in my own. A lot of times it's situations that are way over my head. I can't trust the things that I can do. I failed in those things. And I continue to fail in those things. And that's why I don't like that. In my flesh, I really don't like it. But when I turn my eyes to see what God can do and that I can glory in it, then I see that it's all about the Lord and his work in my heart and my life. And it pulls me back out of that performance-based mentality into this place of enabling by the Holy Spirit to enable me to walk in what he has called me to do in that heavenly calling, doing his will and rejoicing in it. It's not a duty. It's not something hard, but it's something I rejoice in. The second point that I wanted to make, and you know what, we're going to have to go through these pretty quickly. I know, but that was the most foundational part, really, is to know what our place is. But the second thing is to know our time. Look at what it says there in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, and that's really important for us to see, that the Holy Spirit is speaking this to us. It's just not a good idea. It's not just a word in a book that was written 2,000 years ago. It's not just that, but it is the Holy Spirit that is speaking to us. And not only that, but this part that the Holy Spirit is speaking is from Psalm 95. That's where this comes from. So the writer of Hebrews is saying that the Holy Spirit spoke through the psalm writer in Psalm 95, and he brings this to our attention. As the psalm writer was writing about it, it's true for us today. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Wow, it seems like it's such a heavy verse, you know? But really what the writer is communicating to us really is very simple. Today is the day. This is our time to respond to the Lord. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we are to hear his voice and do not harden your heart. We are to respond, whatever that may be. Sometimes that's just taking time to think about the Lord and to meditate on a scripture or a word from the Lord. It can be very simple, but how hard the flesh is fighting against that Spirit of God. And we harden our hearts to what God wants us to do. And I do that all the time. I mean, I do it daily. I believe that I do that daily. Just being honest with you. I want the Lord to reveal these things to me. I want him to speak to me. I want to hear his voice. And what I need to do is I need to respond. It's not out of duty, though. That's why the foundation is so important. We respond out of love for him and love. When we really truly know what he's done for us, then it's not duty, but it's thankfulness. And it becomes just the outflow of responding. I mean, you know how that is. You know what the difference is between that. When you told your kids to do something and they go kicking and screaming to go do it, it doesn't feel very good. But when they say, oh yeah, I'll do that, thanks. Yeah, there are times like that when people respond that way. That's what the Lord wants us to respond to. The love that he has and responding in a way that we say, yeah, I want to do that. I see that. That is the calling. That is the heavenly calling that is upon my life, and I want to walk in it. And Lord, give me strength because I can't do it in and of myself. I need your Holy Spirit to give me gentleness because I feel like ripping that guy's head off. You know, those are the real things that we deal with. I've been really hurt by that person. Lord, will you give me a forgiving heart that I will be able to forgive them? Because I realize I've been in that place of bitterness and unforgiveness before, and I hate it. I want what you have. Trials do serve a purpose in our life to point us to Jesus and to have a tender heart towards him, to say, yes, I hear your voice, and I want to do it because I love you. And I realize that you died for me, that you gave me all that I have, and Lord, I'm thankful for it. Today is the day of salvation. Respond to the Lord. Today, do not harden your heart against the Lord. See, we think, I don't know about you, but oftentimes I'm thinking about the things in the future, and I'm thinking, well, I don't really want to do it today because I can do it tomorrow. Have you ever been in that place? I don't want to do it, but tomorrow I'll do it. I know I will. But the fact of the matter is, oftentimes tomorrow never really comes because I don't have the same opportunity. I'm in a whole different place. It's a justification, and it's a way to say, no, I don't want to do it, Lord. It's a nice way to say, I don't want to do it. I'm just going to wait. No, respond. And the more that we come to a place where we're responding to the Lord, the more tender our heart is going to be. That's how we cultivate a tender heart before the Lord. Based on our position, we obey. We say, yes, Lord, I will do it. Lovingly. I see what your plan is in this, and I want to be a part of that. And I thank you that you've called me into this heavenly calling. The parables of the soil, you know, is in Matthew chapter 13. I'm not going to go there, but you guys can, because that really deals with the hardness. That really deals with the heart and the hardness that can happen there. The seed that is scattered, even this message or whatever, your daily devotions to the Lord, it's seed that's scattered upon your heart. Is it soft ground? Is it rocky ground? Are there trials right now in your life? Are there persecutions in your life? Are there those things? It can be a real good test for us to know, where are we? That's what that parable is all about. Where is the heart? Because fruit comes when we have a soft and tender heart to the Lord. The next point is just having that connection and being connected. Look at what it says there, and we'll just briefly go over verse 12 and verse 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be burdened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end. You know what? We can develop a hard heart to the Lord, but you know what? There is another thing that God has given to us, and it's a connection. Look at what the connections are here. We are brethren. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's that. We're connected to Jesus and he is interceding for us in the heavenlies, seated at the Father's right hand. The Father is working for us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. We're connected in that. But not only that, but we're connected to one another. There, we are to exhort one another daily while it is called today. You know what? We need fellowship. You guys need fellowship. I need fellowship. I'm blessed, I believe, because I have been blessed with a wife who I can have fellowship with. We have fellowship daily. We should be seeking out fellowship daily here. It goes back to our time. It's now. It's today. Daily we should be seeking fellowship one with another. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There is a fellowship that we share together. There's a fellowship in Jesus Christ that we share together here in this place. We're connected to Jesus. We're connected to the Father. We're connected to the Holy Spirit, but we're also connected to one another. And it's important that we share daily with one another and exhort each other daily. So that leads us into taking communion this morning, and we're going to do it right now after we've talked about fellowship. If the guys want to grab, I don't know if the worship team wants to come in. Taylor, if you're listening to me in the fellowship hall. Yeah, you guys come on up. And we'll go before the Lord. Because fellowship is really important for us. And you know what? We have been drawn into fellowship by the cross. You know, we had Good Friday. We celebrated Easter. It's the cross that has brought us into this fellowship with God. But not only that, that fellowship brings us into oneness with one another. You know what? That, what Jesus did on the cross also brings me into oneness with my wife, with my children, with my family. See, it goes down the line. Fellowship is not just, and I don't believe communion is just about what God has done for us. I mean, it is all about what God has done for us, but we respond by realizing that we have fellowship with Him and entering into that, remembering that, but also remembering what it does. Because if we leave that part out, that it brings us into oneness with each other, we're missing a huge portion of what God has for us as His body. Because we can see what's going on in the world, can't we? We can see the things that human nature does to one another. Have you seen it on the TV? Have you seen in the news what man can do to man? It's sick. That's the kind of world we live in without Jesus. But Jesus brings us in by fellowship into this. I mean, you maybe not know the people here. Maybe before you came to Calvary Chapel, you didn't know the people that were here. But now you have friends. And you have people that you have a deep fellowship with. That's amazing. That's what God does, bringing people of different ages together to fellowship together. Different hearts, different attitudes, different personalities. And really, communion is about that as well, that we would enter into all that God has for us. Lord, we just really thank You for this morning, and we thank You for what You have given to us so freely. Lord, You have given us life. And Lord, I just thank You for that, and I thank You that we can come to this place and we can worship You. And Lord, that we can enter into fellowship with one another. Lord, we pray that You would be glorified this morning. I pray that as we hear this song and as we listen and as we just fellowship with You, Lord, that we would have that soft heart and that tender heart to, Lord, what You want to speak to us. Lord, that it would be more than just our emotions or our feelings, but it would really truly be the will of our life to enter in, that Your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. I just thank You for each one that's here. Lord, what a blessing it is to be in Your presence this morning. We pray in Jesus' name.